Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:44 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is March 2nd. And we've seen a clear response in the precious metal markets to the strength of the dollar and the interpretation of the almost in full pricing in of a rate hike this month. And silver in particular has pulled back really quite sharply. It's down almost 70 cents today. But this is a clear downward dynamic. It is by far the largest pullback that we've seen since the middle of December, when silver prices started rallying. Now, at the beginning of February, it had quite clearly broken the progression of lower rally highs since July. And now here is the big question. Having had this downward dynamic, it is certainly the biggest that we've seen since December, but it is not in the same magnitude as what we saw prior to that event. We saw very large downward dynamics, $2 moves at the beginning of October, the middle of November, and a somewhat smaller one in the middle of December. So the big question is whether that $17 level is going to hold. Is this going to represent the first consolidation after a break in the progression of lower rally highs? Is this going to be the first wobble after what has been, well, it is already the first wobble, but is that all it's going to be after such a persistent advance over the last 10 weeks? And the moving average is in the region of $17.39. And obviously we do get overshoot. It isn't a sacrosanct level. It is perhaps better to think of the trend mean as just that, a mean, an area around which we might see support and resistance being found or encountered. So in the short term, at least, we are getting some pullback and consolidation. And the gold shares did lead. They led on the upside, and now they're leading on the downside. And they were a bit weaker again in here today, down a full dollar. This is the biggest pullback that we've seen since November. And it is a question for the bulls. It is certainly for the bulls to prove their point now that if we are going to see gold and gold shares and precious metals generally be able to reassert the demand-dominated environment, they are going to have to demonstrate support most, desirably in the region of the trend mean, but perhaps more importantly than that, in the region of the December low. If the December low fails to hold, then that would really negate the entire support building phase, and that would be a significant bearish outcome. Now, there is ample room between $22 or just less than that and 18 in which gold miners can find support, but they need to be getting about it, and we really do need to see some clear evidence to question the short-term downward bias. Part of the reason that gold shares are pulling back is because the euro is weak, the yen is weak, and the dollar is firm. And it isn't just that we have seen that short-term weakness. The most important thing that has happened on that chart is that the euro encountered resistance in the region of 108 and held the progression of lower rally highs. It encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean. And the rally which we saw in the very beginning of this year doesn't look like anything other than a reversion to the mean, an unwinding of the short-term oversold condition, and that this continues to look like a bearish chart overall, that the price ranged for 2 years. It broke the progression of higher reaction lows that had been in place for much of 2016 following the election result in the US, and it continues to represent a bearish chart. Is for the bulls to prove, and there is a distinct lack or dearth of euro bulls, or even I find it quite difficult to make a bullish euro argument, considering just how much uncertainty there is with regard to the political situation in Europe, but also that there is the potential for interest rate differentials to start working in the US dollar's favor even more so than they have already over the last year. And while the euro has already pulled back from the region of its trend mean. The yen is only just now beginning to pull back from the region of its trend mean. So what we have seen, and we can, I'll just pull up the World Equity page, is that the majority of indices were in negative territory today, but not in the dynamic fashion. There was a very emphatic move upwards yesterday on Wall Street, and yes, it is in negative territory today, but by and large, it has held the majority of the advance, and it is still trading above where that gap is. The FTSE 100 was unchanged today. The CAC was actually in positive territory, and the DAX was pretty much flat as well. That is contrib and part of the reason for that is because of the weakness of the euro. And I do think that it is really quite important to just look back at what happened the last time we had significant euro weakness. And that was at the beginning of 2015. And when the euro collapsed, nominal prices surged higher in the vast majority of European indices. And what we are beginning to see perhaps now is that investors are moving ahead of the potential devaluation or additional weakness in the euro. They are pricing in the potential for nominal price appreciation. And even the Portuguese market, which really has been among the most depressed in the entire region, has held a progression of higher reaction lows for 6 months and is now testing the region of the trend mean and has got this rounding characteristic, which is consistent with accumulation. Geronimo Martins is outperforming, so is I think the ticker is GALP. It is the country's oil company, which has got a significant presence in previous Portuguese colonies, so Brazil and Angola. But those are generally speaking higher priced regions. But the utility, the Portuguese utility, has got pretty much the same pattern as the national index, and it does look like it is going to move higher from here on the assumption that the euro does in fact pull back. And it is worth also keeping an eye on the banking sector. And banks have rallied pretty impressively yesterday, held on to the majority of their advance, but perhaps the most important thing is that they are bouncing from the region of the trend mean, that they will do perhaps better if we can see that the euro weakens further. It will improve their competitiveness, it will improve the competitiveness more importantly of the European block in aggregate, and this is a benign outcome. It is an equally benign outcome for Japan. The yen has been really quite firm, and there is now the potential for the Nikkei to extend this breakout. The move to new highs was already priced into the futures yesterday. It is looking increasingly likely that 20,000 is unlikely to represent more than a short-term barrier, that it has already spent a good deal of time trading beneath it, and that there is the potential now for it to push through and up out of this 2-year range. And when we look at the Nikkei, it has outperformed the TOPIX, and it has been consolidating, and it has been a big consolidation. 5,000 points on a 20,000 point index is a significant consolidation. But perhaps more important is that that move to 20,000 2 years ago had broken the long, long progression of major rally highs. And that is perhaps the most important thing on the long-term chart. So that perhaps this is the first step above the type 2 base, that we have had the massive reaction against the prevailing trend, and now the 15,000 level has held, so we have a meaningful higher reaction low, a sustained move above 20,000, and we can rationally argue that we are in new bull market territory. So I think keeping an eye on what happens in Japan is perhaps more important now than it has been for any time in the last 2 years. When we talk about the weakness of currencies and the strength of the dollar, then we absolutely have to think about the renminbi. It represents one of the dollar's most consistent uptrends, and it is most particularly now having flushed out some of the most aggressive short sellers. Now there is quite clear evidence of the dollar finding support once more, and most particularly on the offshore renminbi, where it has already unwound just about all of that oversold condition relative to the trend mean, and the dollar is now pushing up out of this short-term range. And the short sellers were flushed out of the offshore market, and they were all also flushed out of the Bitcoin market, and Bitcoin is already at a new all-time high, and it is accelerating higher at this stage. So when the first downward dynamic comes, is likely to represent another one of these very sharp pullbacks, but it is clearly overextended right now. And when we look at that, it is at the price at 1268 and the mean at 777, it is not that far away from an almost 50% overextension. So the potential for a pullback is certainly growing in there. And oil prices are also really worth keeping an eye on. This is the second time in, I'm just counting, 7 trading sessions that we have had oil close on close to the low of the day. It is now testing the lower side of this range. Within that range, because it is so incredibly inert, I rather I don't want to get too, I guess, to submit to myopia. The most important thing is that it has been ranging, that the range has been very narrow, and that it is an explosion waiting to happen. And what we have not seen is that downward moves have been sustained beyond 2 consecutive days. If we get 3 consecutive days in the order of magnitude that we've seen this decline, then it will be breaking down out of this range. And that would challenge the bull market question. It would certainly challenge OPEC's commitment that they have now failed to support prices by cutting by 1 million barrels. So it would put pressure on them to cut by even more. Certainly, Saudi Arabia has got an interest in having higher prices if they're going to get the price for their IPO of Saudi Aramco that they want. And there are already some significant questions about whether the company is worth even close to what they think it is. But the price of oil is going to be a big one. And prices are now trading really not that far away from the trend mean. The fact that it has gone sideways for so long, that would open up the potential that we could get a short, sharp pullback to the region of the trend mean. But it is then the big question whether it is going to find support there. I continue to think that oil prices, what we are now going to find out, it is the big question, because I really do think, and I've thought for a quite considerable period of time, that oil prices have a direct corollary to what we've seen in natural gas prices. Unconventional gas has represented a complete game changer for the natural gas market, and unconventional oil is a complete game changer for the conventional oil market. The only big question is, at what price does a significant quantity of additional supply come into the market and push the and overwhelm the demand argument? And potentially that is $60. So then we're going to see very clearly what happens next, because if the upper side is $60, the lower side is at 27. It's closer to $30 than 40. We know that a great deal of supply becomes uneconomic below $40. So anytime it goes below $40, then traders are going to be looking for chances to buy oil. But then we don't yet know where the upper side of that range is. And there is a significant amount of unconventional oil that can be brought online at a profitable margin above $50 a barrel. And we know that because the futures curve has contracted so much that when you look at May 17 and you look at February 19, the price is the same. And that is quite a profound change to the market. It means that the arbitrage between the short and the long end of the curves has completely disappeared. And that means that anyone who wants to hedge at today's levels can get today's levels going out for at least 2 years. So the risk then of investing in additional supply at slightly above these levels is purely limited to the risk in that one well. It isn't a risk for the entire business because so much can be hedged. And that's bad news for OPEC. So I think we are in a very interesting environment in the oil markets. And also, Tesla's Gigafactory has opened up, and they are looking forward to delivering on those Model 3s in the not too distant future. The price has pulled back from the upper side of the range, but the clear downward bias to trading that was in evidence from the middle of 2015 all the way through until the end of last year has been broken. And if prices can now find support between 250 and 225, then we would have a higher reaction low. And it would suggest that investors are beginning to give the benefit of the doubt once more to Tesla, having left it out in the wilderness while it spent a great deal of money building this massive factory. And of course, Tesla is not the only company that is building big battery factories. There are a significant number of so-called gigafactories under construction in Asia. The big battery factory, big battery manufacturers like Panasonic, Samsung, and LG Chem, they're not about to surrender the global battery market to Tesla. They're going to compete, and that is going to create not only a great deal of demand for lithium, but it is also going to create a competitive environment for batteries, and the price will start to come down. And that's before we even begin to talk about the potential for better technologies to find their way into the manufacturing process. So, and that might not be a particular worry for the oil market between now and March and now and April, but it's a significant problem for the oil market if you start looking out over the next 10 years because regulations for emissions are becoming so tight that there is a very clear incentive for automakers to produce electric vehicles. So there really is a lot to think about, and what we certainly know is that the US might be a bit overbought in the short term, but it represents the clear region of outperformance, and with the dollar continuing to appreciate and stock markets outperforming, the potential for interest rate hikes to represent a benign a response to that benign environment means that we are at a pivotal point now in government bond yields. And it is worth remembering that government bonds represent a much larger market than stocks, and that money coming out of bonds could support a stock market rally well into the medium term. I say 2.5% is important because it represents the short-term progression of lower rally highs within what has been an orderly consolidation for yields. And of course, that's a distribution in terms of price. If we see prices, excuse me, see yield going above 2.5%, that will greatly increase the potential that this range will be resolved on the upside, and that would open up the potential for 3% to be seen on government bond yields. The S&P 500 right now is not yielding 3%. It is yielding 1.97%. So the yield advantage that stocks have had over bonds has been unwound by this rally in yields, and the greater the government bond yield goes, the more competitive the outperformance of stocks will have to be. Stocks will have to deliver on not only yield with nominal price appreciation to continue to attract investors. The more important point is that if government bond yields are rising and we get and inflation starts to come back, then that is going to be a challenge. But if oil prices are coming down, then the short-term upward pressure that we've had on inflation, then inflation may not come from commodities but from wages. And I think that that is the most likely potential outcome, because wages have not moved in a long time, and there are a lot of people that are feeling their standard of living coming under pressure. And the quick answer is either to lower taxes or raise wages, and potentially both. That is where we are likely to see inflation coming through. That obviously would be good for stocks, but it wouldn't be particularly good news for bonds. And bonds represent perhaps the greatest risk to any portfolio out there right now, because they are coming to the end of a secular bull market, and the stock market is really only in the latter stages of the beginning of what could be a decades-long secular bull market. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.